Welcome to another episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, where we focus on building better businesses. I believe in order to be the best leader that you can be, you must be willing to be the first follower and have a servant mentality when you're in a leadership position. If you want to be the best leader that you possibly can be sure to stay tuned and listen to industry leaders and hear how they built winning cultures in their own businesses. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tactical Leadership. Today, I have the great pleasure of introducing Brad Lee as my guest, and we're going to have a phenomenal conversation. Brad, welcome to the show, my friend.
Zach, thanks, man, for having me. I appreciate it. I don't get asked very often to be on leadership podcasts.
You know, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation. I want to give the audience just a little bit of background on you, because when you talk about leaders, you're definitely one of those in the industry that has a pretty large organization called Lightspeed VT. It's really the world's leading interactive training system. You're the founder and the CEO, but you also host the top-rated podcast, one of the few podcasts I ingest myself, called Dropping Bombs. The author of The Real Deal, but you've been associated, you've helped people, heavy hitters, Tony Robbins, Zig Ziglar, Grant Cardone, Tom Hopkins, you name it. You've pretty much had a hand in developing all sorts of things for these people. And besides all of that, before we dive into like the business, the leadership side of things, what do you want the audience to know about you?
Man, that I'm just cool like a mug. Just a regular old dude trying to make the impact on the world.
You know, and you say that, and it, what's funny about it is that's the truth. You know, I've seen you speak several times from out in Las Vegas. I've met you a couple times here and there. And every time we talk, it seems like, I hear you speak, you're very authentic. I feel like if you talk about leadership, you're that authentically you person that a lot of us strive to be. Is that how you kind of describe yourself?
I would accept that. You know, I think at the end of the day, man, we all have to be ourselves. It's just too bad so many of us, you know, don't know how to meet that person or develop that person or forgive that person or, you know, be proud of that person. And so they end up running around, you know, pretending. But I have found a couple ways to get to the real me, and I like me, and I hope everybody else does. But the good news is if they don't, I don't really mind that either.
And that's kind of what I wanted to hit on, because you found a path, and a lot of what I've heard you talk on when you talk about like finding yourself, there's almost like a selfishness you have to have about loving yourself, putting yourself forward before you can show up available for other people. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Well, yeah, you make it sound all fluffy. You know, you can show up for other people without being completely, you know, honest and in love with yourself, or, you know, but the higher self-worth you have and the higher you value yourself, the more you know yourself, the better off you are in any relationship, because you're literally providing an exchange of value, meaning, in other words, like you and I talking here, I don't think I'm better than you. I might be richer than you or ahead of you in some way. But number one, you're younger. There's no difference between us. In other words, I don't think I'm better than anyone in the world. I just value my own opinion as much or more than yours. Does that make sense?
It does. And I feel like you have to have that to an extent, right? For you to really have that conviction.
Yeah, you want that in life. And I think that's why people kind of see me as being authentic, because they realize, well, man, he doesn't really give a shit what people think. And it's actually untrue. I give a shit what people think. And I think more people should. Too many people say, I don't give a shit. And, I got a shirt that says IDGAF. And I ask people, what do you think that means? And they're like, I don't give up. And I'm like, it's actually I do. And I suggest you do too. A lot of people don't, or they say they don't when they do. But I forgot where I was going with that, because I glanced at my damn shirt that I'm proud of. But listen, I do care. I want everybody to be happy and like me and, you know, all that. But at the end of the day, man, if you're doing the right thing all the time, you have ethics and integrity, and you know that about yourself, like you're going to do the right thing, whether someone's looking or not. And you know that about yourself, dude, you're better off than 90% of the people in the world instantly. So then that shifts your perspective to being grateful and a gratitude perspective. And now all of a sudden, all the challenges are now opportunities. Like, have you ever woke up in the morning completely excited that you got another day, almost as if Somebody handed you $1 million cash. You were just enthusiastic, pumped up, fired up. You jumped out of bed and then boom, you went out and attacked the day the best you could. And the whole entire day was amazing. Well, that should be every day, shouldn't it?
You know, I agree with you. And I think a lot of people lose that perspective. And it honestly, and this is what I'm curious about, how you gained it. It took me going to Afghanistan, being deployed in the military before I saw like the value of time and the lack thereof that people place on it, where people just kind of forget this is a limited world. We don't really have the opportunity to live forever. I mean, a long time, but you know, people kind of take that for granted. Is there something that happened at some course during your life that really shifted that mindset for you?
Not really, bud. I don't think you have to go to Afghanistan to you know, appreciate common sense. I think that helps accelerate your gratitude when you go to Afghanistan, but I don't think you need to go to Afghanistan, man. Open your eyes right there in the city you're in. You know, just realize that when you wake up in the morning, that's more valuable than $1 million. Look, if I told you I'll give you $1 million, dude, but you can't wake up tomorrow, would you take it?
Oh, hell no. I want to wake up tomorrow.
Okay. So you're telling me that $1 million is worthless over waking up, that waking up is more valuable than $1 million.
Absolutely.
But do you wake up with that same enthusiasm? Because if I said, describe how you'd feel if I literally just gave you $1 million cash.
You know, it's amazing. Money's just a tool, right?
I know, I know. That's all fluffy. Zach, think about it, man. I just handed you $1 million, bro. Yeah. You can't be rich. You're in the military, correct?
Correct.
I just handed you $1 million, bro. How would you feel?
Well, if I can't wake up and use it tomorrow, what's the point of it?
Don't make that assumption. I just handed you $1 million. Dude, give me some adjectives, man. How would you feel? Think about it. Like here's the problem with most people that don't understand laws of attraction, by the way, Zach. They're thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and that's never going to do anything. You have to think about it, which hopefully allows you to feel the emotion, the feeling of what it's like or not like. And you can feel the emotion, and that emotion changes the vibrations, and the vibrations are what do the attracting. So you don't, it's like a tuning fork. You got to go boing to make it work. So it's the same thing. The adjectives, like feel, like imagine I just gave you $1 million cash, bro. Be honest.
Oh, I'd be excited. It'd be more cash than I have.
How excited, bro? Tell the truth.
You know, I'll be honest. A million is not going to change my life.
Oh, damn. No, come on.
I'm going to be real with you, bro.
Shit, $1 million is a lot of money. Let's raise it up, seeing as how you're freaking entrepreneurial. Let's go 10 million. Would that change your life?
10 would move the ticker a little bit. Absolutely.
Okay. Describe 10 million. Describe it. How would it feel? Honestly.
Oh, man. It'd be a beautiful thing. I would love it. There's a lot I could do with a 10 mil.
Dude, relieved, excited, yeah, right? Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely.
Pumped up, fired up, like nobody could rain on your parade. But if I said, dude, I'll give you 10 million, but you can't wake up tomorrow, you're still going to say no. So that means tomorrow morning when you wake up, dude, you're getting something more valuable than $10 million. Do you feel that way every day when you wake up?
Honestly, at this point I do, but it took me a long time to feel that way and understand that appreciation for waking up the next day.
Yeah, well, not only that, but you're into obvious self-development. You got a podcast, you're into, you know, you're entrepreneurial, you know, so you've probably got a little more insight than the normal person. The normal person doesn't understand that when they wake up, their mindset and gratitude adjust the whole day. So if you can just wake up grateful and authentically grateful, and feeling that enthusiasm and excitement as if someone just handed you a big, huge chunk of change, everything becomes an opportunity. There's really no more problems in your life, right? Like you got to pay rent and you don't have it. And you wake up with that gratitude. Dude, you got the opportunity to go figure out rent. You'd be so thankful that you were getting kicked out of your apartment if you thought you were going to die as an alternative. So you'd wake up and you'd be like, yes. So if we can trick ourselves into doing that every single morning, man, life's better. I know this is about leadership, but hey, you know, sometimes I just run at the mouth.
No, honestly, I love this aspect of the conversation because a lot of my leadership journey has turned to self-mastery. And a lot of that is set with what you're talking about, getting up in the morning, hitting the ground running. But a lot of that also, I think, in the military instilled it in me is that morning routine. Is there something that you do to like set that stage for yourself every single morning?
Yeah, I wake up with that gratitude and then I focus on four key areas: the health, the relationships, the money, and the mind. So ultimately, I'll do 30 minutes to an hour, depending on the day. of just elevated heart rate, working out, weights, etc. I'll make sure I eat and hydrate during that time. Then I write down five people who I want to build a relationship with, reach out to them, just touch base on a daily basis. Now, again, they're not always the same, but I pick five people every morning. And then I'll go into a piece of paper and just write down five things that are going to drive revenue that day. You got to focus on the revenue. And then I pick up a book and read maybe 20, 30 pages. I feed the mind, you know, every single day. That's my routine.
And is that something that you've developed over the years? You've always had that mentality of you've got to have that type of stage set.
No, I had to learn it the hard way. Ultimately, I probably became that way around 35. Until I was 35, I was kind of a, you know, normal, you know, jack off running around thinking I'm cool, all that shit. Yeah.
And what at 35 changed that for you? Like, what was that turning point? There had to be a catalyst that made you flip the switch to be like, man, I'm going to change and value and be motivated.
Well, number one, I accidentally helped somebody and experienced the value of helping someone in a massive way without any expectation in return. And it just felt good. You know what I mean? It was like, dude, that was cool. So I kind of got the idea, hey, maybe I can go help more people like this, right? And I didn't really think about what I was going to get for doing it. I just wanted to do it because it made such an impact. So I went out and started doing that. And I think that's kind of the shift, if there is one. I started helping other people and stopped focusing on helping myself. And I think when we, again, unselfishly help other people, you end up helping yourself.
And is that where Lightspeed VT was born, where you wanted to create a platform that helped people get that message out there for themselves?
That's right. Well, I mean, it was at 30 years old. I helped that guy. And then I started a training company. Then it evolved into Lightspeed. But Lightspeed VT is a web-based interactive software, a technology that we developed over the last 20 years to be able to basically train people better, effectively lead, you know, connect, et cetera. So that's exactly how that started.
And I know you've had, talking about Dropping Bombs, your podcast. I mean, you've had some greats over the years. I mean, Tim's Story, a mutual friend of ours, C-Rock, you had on there. You've had Jordan Harbinger. I mean, you've worked with pretty much the top of the top, from Cole Hatter, Dan Fleshman. I mean, we can name drop all day. What are you learning from podcasts? I know it's been a journey for me. Is there something you've taken away from some of these great leaders across industries that you really found fascinating or you've applied to your own life?
No, usually I'm teaching them shit.
Fair enough.
I'm joking. I learned from everybody. I learned from my little 5-year-old daughter. So when I say I'm a sponge, man. I'm learning all the time from everything and everybody. But you know, when I get to talk to people that have, you know, incredible resumes or accomplishments, you know, I get into their brain a little bit, find out how they did it, and I'm learning from all of them. And yes, I've learned a ton. In the last 10 years, I've learned massive amounts, but I think I've done that podcast now for maybe 2 years.
About 360 episodes or so.
Yeah, so I've learned more in those episodes than I think in the last 10 straight years.
Has there been a favorite of yours that you enjoyed speaking with on that
podcast? You know, they're all my favorite in a way. I really enjoy like the last one I did with, well, it was not the last one, but it's the one before that. Eric Nice, John Nice, you know, they were talking about this grandmaster who apparently had almost, you know, magical powers and like, it's just, you know, plant-based medicine, ayahuasca, Mother Earth. It was like this crazy, but again, I mean, there's a lot of universal things. I believe medicine is our food, right? I believe there's a cure for everything. It's in our food. Like the earth provides, I believe all that. And I believe there's some sort of Mother Earth oneness, and we talked a lot about it, and so that's probably one of my favorite, maybe because it just happened. But man, there are just too many to pick.
And I know one of my favorite, a good friend of yours is Ed Mylett, and he's
That was another good one,
man.
Shit, that might even be my favorite.
You know, I love his content as well. And when y'all got together, I got really excited. You released it back in February, and when I listened to it, man, the vibe y'all had about talking about confidence and how you present yourself in a room and how you present yourself across people made such an impact. How did you develop that? Like, how y'all's conversation just seemed to like flow. Like it was, oh yeah, confidence is easy, but realistically, like we were talking about with limiting beliefs and people kind of struggling with waking up and getting going in the morning, how do you start developing that confidence that really changes life like that? Like y'all discussed.
Number one, you have to forgive yourself for letting yourself and others down your whole entire life. You mentally and intentionally forgive yourself. Number two, you commit to do what you say you're going to do every single time, no matter what. You make that commitment, you make that decision, and you start and you do it. And then number three is you want to rack up the wins. It's very difficult to erase memories, so we have to replace memories. And you want to just start literally winning on a regular basis. So you set smaller goals. And you know, remember number two, where you do what you say? So you set smaller goals and you just start winning and winning and winning. And every day, man, you're winning all day long. And you may not even be aware of it, but your subconscious is going, you know, all right, I like this. So now you're racking up the wins. I call it racking up the wins. So you start racking up the wins, and then you do that consistently for, you know, 30, 45 days, and you start freaking really mentally, intentionally realizing, man, you are doing the work. So you start to feel a little bit better about yourself. You start walking a little taller. And then what most times happens, the haters and the negative people start freaking bombing you back down to real reality. But if you do step four, which is weed out the idiots, like, dude, just cut out all the idiots, the negative talk, the negative self-talk, the negative headlines, you know, your mom, your dad, your brother, your wife, whoever's telling you can't do it and you're dreaming and all that crap, you just block it out. Then step five, you visualize on a daily basis exactly what you want, not kinda. You get specific, you get clarity, you get a roadmap. And you determine, it's just a choice. You determine what success looks like to you. And you visualize being every single one of those places or having one of those things or being that person. You visualize and you feel it on a regular basis. So that's step five. You do that every single day. Now, step six is, again, pick up a book, seek knowledge every single day. If you do those things every single day, which is I call the sacred six, you forgive yourself, you commit, you rack up the wins, you get rid of all negativity, you visualize and determine exactly what you want in life, and then you read a little bit of a book, a self-help book, every single day. You do those six things, and I promise you, after about 90 days, you're going to freaking feel like it's stud, dude. You know, anyone that does it is going to feel like, man, I'm worthy. And they have to continue to do it because you'll start to get back into a habit. Your subconscious mind has been conditioned over years and years and years. You're not going to change it in 90 days, but you're going to start to shift and you're going to start that change. And then pretty soon, if you continue it, the consistency is the key. Pretty soon you start to read more, right? And get a lot of new information. And then you start to regret not reading your whole life. And then you start to get this information, and then it makes you think, and then it makes you question, and then you start to think and question. And when you question things and you use your own brain to think for yourself, something changes about a person. Like, I think for myself, man. I don't need people to think for me. I do seek counsel, don't get me wrong, but thinking for yourself, I think, elevates your confidence level massive. And by the way, not if you're screwing up all the time, not if everything you decide on is bad. Like, you know, you're a drunk, you're fucking broke, you can't pay rent, you're a cheater, you're cheating on your spouse, you're freaking lying to your kids, you're lying to your boss, you're lying to your friend. Like, dude, there's people out there doing that. And when you think about it, man, those are just choices. Those people are just choosing to do those things. And or blaming some external reason as to why they're happening. When in reality, dude, if you literally take that exact individual that society would dub a loser or even themselves would, and you say, hey, stop making those decisions, start making these decisions, 90 days later, that person will be a completely different individual. They'll feel totally different about themselves. The society will start forgiving them and their whole world will end up bright.
Hmm. And is this, I know you have a book coming out, another book, Lessons I've Learned the Hard Way, So You Don't Have To. Are these some of those lessons that you're teaching in that book?
Well, yes, some of them. That book's basically all the lessons I've had to learn the hard way that you will learn one way or the other. The question is, do you want to do it the easy way and take advantage, or do you want to do the hard way and learn for yourself? Because it's coming no matter what, and they're universal. So some of these things are right. And again, I'm not trying to convince somebody on my special 7-step program or anything of that shit. Like, this is what you do. You want confidence? Start doing what the hell you say you're going to do. Start being ethical, whether people are looking or not. And then pretty soon you realize 90% of the people out there are lying, cheating fools. Well, that elevates you a little bit, doesn't it? You're not like everybody else. You're a little bit different. You're a little bit more righteous. You're a little bit more ethical, whatever you want to use in that context. And then make sure you don't think you're better than everybody, because now you have what's called ego. Now you're being egotistical. That's not good. Your ego is not your amigo. You want to realize that you are a good person, right? Isn't that confidence? Confidence is really just the memory of success. It's the memory of winning. So you have to win, man. And you have to realize that, you know, there's a lot of people out there making the wrong choices. It's hard, but you're not. How's that make you feel? All of a sudden it's like, yeah, damn right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, damn, I deserve more, man. Hey, I deserve more. And then guess what? Haters will be like, come on, Zach, who you think you are, dog? Oh, dude, you too good for us now? Oh, you ain't got time for us now? Well, those are the people that I said will identify themselves, and you just make sure you get rid of them. Cut them out. Don't accept their nonsense. Visualize exactly what success looks like to you. Okay, get clarity. I mean, if I send you to New York, you want a GPS or a map drawn by a kid with crayons? Okay, so let's say I go and I say, hey, Zach, you want to be successful? You say, oh, absolutely, definitely going to be successful. And I say, what does it look like? And you can't describe it. To go ask people. They don't know what success looks like. They've never thought about it. They've never done the work. They've never sat down and said, what does success look like? They're just general, like, you know, rich. Okay, what is rich, bro? I used to think $10 million was rich. Okay, $10 million isn't that rich. Okay, it's very comfortable, mind you, but it's not rich. Yeah, you take that $10 million, you give it away basically, and then you only get to generate 10, 12% annually from it. So $10 million is really only $1 million if you're smart, because that $10 million you got your hands on, if you spend it, it's never coming back. If you invest it, right, let's say again, conservatively, 10, 12% comes back. Well, then it has to be invested in order to get that 10 or 12%. So you can't do anything with it. It's not yours. You can't buy the Lambos and the cars and the houses, but you can put it away, which means you don't have it, which means you're not rich, and draw $1 million a year off of it. And now you're comfortable, even if you don't get out of bed, right? So now you're just comfortable. You're still not freaking buying jets and islands and shit. Isn't that crazy, dude?
It is. It is. And people don't really see that as, and you're talking rich. I mean, that's not definitely not wealth, right? There's a huge difference between the two of actually having the wealth to live life the way you want to. And I know that's a big piece of what I think you try to enlighten people with, is like, there's a huge difference between the two. And there's a lot when you talk about investing that $1 million isn't going to sustain you forever, right? There's a lot more to it than just having a little bit of cash in the bank, right? You know, I feel like there's got to be some sort of intent where, like, you have a mission you want to accomplish, right? You're trying to enlighten people. You're trying to get people's message out there with your purpose and your vision. I feel like if you're going to have that and actually create that sustainable wealth, there has to be something behind that money, right? There has to be some sort of motivating factor attached to what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, that helps, you know, keeps you going is really all it does. I don't think it's needed. I don't, you know, the whole, you need a why. You don't necessarily need a why. I think it drives you when most people quit, which is why your why is important, because if it's a strong enough why, you won't quit. You'll keep going because that's a powerful why. But I know lots of people that got rich without really a why. They just wanted to get rich and they had a good idea and people started throwing money at them and they just got rich. They didn't have a why. You know, it wasn't all this fluffy shit you hear, like, you know, oh, you got to have a why. You don't have to have a why. People are teaching you the why because it sells books, it sounds good, and it's true. In other words, if your why is strong enough, then yes, it will make you eat a ton of shit and continue, which is why you made it. It's not because you had a why. It's because you didn't stop. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. That's why, right? But you're gonna give credit to your why because someone taught you that why is what's important. And really what they're saying is this is a big enough reason to keep you going. And keeping you going is what makes you rich. And by the way, that's in some cases, like I said, I have friends that just got rich accidentally. They're not rocket scientists. They came up with a good idea and freaking the market endorsed it, and boom, them some bitches are richer than shit. They had no why. They're jackoffs. Matter of fact, they smoke weed and dick off all day. They're like big kids. But dude, like, get a ton of money dumped onto you from about 20 years old on, you know, and never grow up. Just have an unlimited abundant lifestyle and you end up being a big adolescent, you know, 40-year-old with a bunch of money. And then when someone says, what was your why? And you make some stupid smart ass comment, like, I wanted to get laid. Mm.
Sounds like you've heard of that once or twice in your time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've interviewed a lot of people and heard a lot of people explain their why theory, you know, and a lot of people adopt it, you know. A lot of people say, you got to have a why. And I always say, not really, but, you know, it does help. What's leadership? This is a leadership podcast, correct?
It is. It is.
I want to know what the definition of leadership is. It's one of those words where people always say, do you have any leadership training? And it's like, when I think of leadership, I mean leading other people, managing people correctly, time management, tact, things like that. What is in your mind, leadership?
To me, leadership is the art form of being a leader. It's the application, direct application, where you have the science of being a leader.
Aren't we all a leader?
To an extent, a leader of yourself at the very least, but a leader of plenty of things. But I think there's a practical application that is lost in the generation of actually applying successful leadership, where you can have it on a piece of paper. The army has doctrine. This is what a leader looks like, but they forget the how-to of like the actual application of influencing people and having people join your mission, even if they don't want to. And to me, that's the art behind it.
Yeah. And that, what you just said, is where I think it lies, which is anyone is a leader that has influence over others. So a dad is a leader of his family. You know, a mom could be the leader, you know, is a leader also. You know, there's a lot more people that are leaders than they think. They don't even realize they're in a leadership role. And when they don't realize they're in a leadership role, they don't look out and try to improve their skill set in that particular area. So I want people that are listening to this to just ask yourself, you know, what do you think a leader is? Because I think pretty much everyone is. Anyone with influence over others.
And when we're talking about leaders, to harp on that a little bit, is there, as you've seen, you've interviewed all these great leaders, is there a characteristic that you'd pick out that you'd be like, man, a great leader has this type of characteristic and should double down on that?
Every great leader I've ever met has had confidence. I've never met a good leader that was shy and timid and uncertain.
Like, do you think like the conviction behind it, like they have the conviction in their message, then the confidence that like drives that forward.
Yeah. Or they faked it, but you know, every good leader I know is like, you know, certain, you know, they're confident. They're let's go, let's roll. You know, you need a little help. You need a little guidance. You know, let me show you how you do it. You know, it's almost like a combination. This is just my style, a combination of kindness, empathy, and confidence. Because, you know, you're going to be leading some dipshits once in a while. well, dude, you got to have patience, you know, and empathy, because everybody's not as bright as some. You know, some people literally have learning disabilities. Some people literally are not going to be as advanced or capable. So you have to have empathy and as a leader, in my opinion, and kind of factor that in with your tone and your actions. You know, if you see potential in somebody and you're showing them a little tough love to get them moving, you know, that's a good leader. But at the end of the day, if you're being a bully, you're being a dick, that's not a good leader. That's a, you know, asshole. So to me, you know, you don't always have to lead from the front. You can lead from the back. You can lead in a lot of ways. But I think if I were to isolate down, you know, good qualities of a leader, first thing is they're always confident and, you know, certain. And then they seem to be kind and empathetic. I'm talking about the good ones, you know, and by the way, there's tough ones like drill instructors in the freaking, you know, military, like, dude, they're doing a job, right? So like, I'm talking about just out in the general civilian world. I'm not putting down anybody that's strict because guess what? You know, that's just their leadership style. They're still a leader.
And I know that that's been a big piece of what I've tried to learn and try to find resources on, especially as I transitioned in the civilian world and business ownership, trying to translate that military, or I was a police officer before and worked government for 12 years before I ever made it into the civilian world as a business owner. Are there resources that you'd recommend to those transitioning people that want to get into that civilian world that could really emphasize these characteristics, or just a great resource that you found that helped motivate you through business ownership?
Well, I would say if you're transitioning, learn to sell. And yes, I happen to teach people to sell with Closer School, but that's not why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because I dropped out of high school at 16. I quit the Marines. I freaking should not be successful. The only reason I'm successful is because I have the ability to sell, close, and persuade people. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So if you're transitioning, dude, yeah, learn to sell, close, and persuade. Screw everything else. You know, leadership, way later, like, you know, way less important. Sales, closing, and persuasion. You master those, man, I'm telling you right now, everyone and their dog will want you to work for them. You won't need to, because you can pretty much write your own ticket anywhere. You can start your own business. You know, you can work for yourself. You can have a laptop lifestyle. You know, you're high in demand. You're not worried. You're not wondering how are you going to transition, right? So like, I would start while you're in the military. Like if I were school districts, I would teach sales and closing in school. People would be graduating freaking badass, very persuasive individuals. But I think as people transition, man, the only thing I would talk to, if I spoke to them, is I would say, look, you guys got freaking dependent on structure. You got dependent on always knowing exactly what to do. Embrace the difference, because life is not going to be like that. And if you crave that or you can't thrive, it's only because you became dependent on it. You're not thinking for yourself. Remember what I said earlier? You know, you're looking to be told what to do. You know, chow is at this time. You know, I get up at this time. You know exactly what to do because you've been relying on structure. That's military. So, and you need to survive. That's the way military works. But when you're getting out, man, do not think that you have to have structure or you'll go crazy, because that's not true. Embrace the opposite. Embrace the spontaneity. You know, but learn to sell, close, and persuade. So you're never worried. Why? Because, man, you can sell your way out of anything.
And Brad, I want to know, there's something bigger behind everything you're doing. I mean, you have your consulting, you have your training platform, the Closer School, like you mentioned, the podcast. What's really the legacy you want to leave on the world with everything that you're building?
I want to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it, so we can live in a world more successful. So I've got an unbelievable advanced technology that allows me to do it light speed. I know all the subject matter experts that I've met. I've got them into systems and I'm getting it pumped out to people that need it so they can do better business, be better parents. My goal is just to make sure that the world's knowledge is available. Now, some people say Google. Well, yeah, kind of. But you've got particular information if you're a subject matter expert. If somebody's kicking ass at selling cars, there's so many people that aren't. How come we can't just get the knowledge from that individual and give it to those individuals? I think we'd live in a world more successful if we just got the knowledge from the people who had it to the people who need it. I've got the technology to do so. So I chose that. And I want my legacy to be that. I want people to say I literally changed education.
That is truly powerful. And when we come back for Tactical Friday, I definitely want to harp on that a little bit. We're going to find out those tactics to get somebody motivated into sharing that knowledge. But before I let you go for today, go ahead and tell the audience, what's the best way to reach you, find your podcast, get your content? I know you have a ton of content coming across all platforms. Go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, if you look me up on any social media, it'll probably be The Real Brad Lee, which is L-E-A, The Real Brad Lee. I got check marks, so you won't be fooled. Other than that, man, you go to droppingbombs.com or bradlee.com. You'll find me.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely recommend everybody go check out the podcast. That's one of my favorites. I listen to very few, but Dropping Bombs is always literally dropping bombs, man. So I appreciate you putting out that content and definitely the time you've given and the wisdom you've given to the audience today, my friend.
My pleasure, man. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Tactical Leadership Podcast, and I hope you got a ton of value out of what we talked about today. I also want to remind you that this show is brought to you by Knight Protection Services. If you're a leader in a small to mid-sized business that does $5 to $10 million a year in revenue and want to improve retention costs, which could actually add up to being twice your employee's salary, all through creating a safer work environment and saving up to 25% in insurance costs, be sure to visit knightprotectionllc.com.